All right, Jehovah, say good morning. Let us begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Zayin, 67. We are picking up on 66b. We are picking up at Tan Rabbanan Yotzin Be'evin Tekuma. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. We thank our sponsors for this morning's shir. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month. Le'ilui Nishmos, their grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Leva Levi, Sarleya Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarita Bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, and Sarah Bas Yaakov. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors this morning, Natan and Leah Berry, for dedicating the Shir this morning in memory of Leah's grandfather, Avram Chaim ben Gidalio. We thank Seth and Rachel Rotenberg for dedicating the Shir this morning in memory of Seth's father, Zev ben Chaim Shmuel. And we thank Daniel Chaver for dedicating the Shir this morning in honor of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Quite beautiful. So also we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, although the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the families Ein Nechama, and Halavai, the Schus of the great Tana Rashbi, Shalem Yerza Hashem, guide us to have an inspired, uplifting, and Halig day. And also with that, let us begin. So we're continuing a little bit more in the conversation regarding omens and different things. Again, I'm going to give you the caveat that we're going to... Well, let's read a little bit. So Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara says as follows, Yotzin be'evin tekuma b'shabbos. You can go out with an evin tekuma. Now we'll say, what is this evin tekuma? So Rashi points out over here, evin tekuma, evin shenosos osa nashim obros. This was a stone that pregnant women would often carry with them. Shelo yapilu. So it says, we're going to see, this was a stone that essentially had another stone inside of it. That was considered to be a good omen for pregnant women. Now, I'm going to point out, we're going to get into omens today, Emir Tzashem, on Amud Beis. Actually, again, on Amud Aleph, we'll see the Mishnah towards the line of Sam of Sinai Amud Aleph. There's a whole discussion about omens. When omens ultimately, again, are considered to be like Dark Amori, you know, Gentile practices, perhaps some even representing idolatrous practices, versus when ultimately, again, they were considered to have some type of real effect. So we'll see on the most basic level, the distinction is as follows. When something was proven to have some type of therapeutic value, so then halacha lamaisa wasn't really covered under the prohibition of omens. When something had simply no therapeutic value or wasn't considered to have any kind of value, that's halacha lamaisa. When things were considered to be much more of a Gentile practice. So we'll see some of these distinctions. So Tanah Bani Yotzeb Evin Tekum B'Shabbos, Mishra Meir, Amru Af B'Mishkal Evin Tekum. Our Meir says, even the counterweight of an Evin Tekuma, you could go out with on Shabbos. V'lo She'epila, and we're not talking about a woman who had miscarried previously, Ela Shema Tapil, rather women would wear it as a way of making sure that they would not go ahead and miscarry. V'lo She'ebra, and even if one was not yet pregnant, but rather it would appear that even a woman who was trying to get pregnant would often wear this evin tekuma as a way of kind of ensuring that if she would get pregnant, she would not miscarry. So therefore it was considered to be something normal that women would wear, and therefore halacha lemaisa you could wear it out on Shabbos. Amrav Yemar Bar Shamya Mishmei Dabaye, V'hudi Chavin V'isko. Now ultimately, again, when we say that you could use a counterweight, that's only assuming that the counterweight is exactly the same weight as the Evin Tekuma. But if you have to chisel away or add something onto the counterweight, then it didn't have the same power as the Evin Tekuma. Boy, Abaye, Mishkal de Mishkamai. What about the counterweight of the counterweight of an Evin Tekuma? Can you wear that out on Shabbos? Teku. But Amr Abaye, Amr Li'e, my mother said to me, Im Li'ishasa Basyoma, Lishkal Zuzich Yura, if you have a fever. Shasa Basyoma, ultimately, again, is a fever that has come that day. That day. So what do you do? Lishkol Zuzi Chivra, go ahead and take a brand new silver coin. Velezel Limilchasa, take a place where they evaporate water in order to make salt. Veliskol Miskalimilcha, and take the equivalent amount of salt corresponding to the silver coin. Velitsari Bechalala de Beit Savar Benira Barka, and tie the salt, ultimately, again, to the opening of your shirt with a hair. V'ilo, and if this doesn't work, or if you can't do this, leisu ba'parshas drachim, go ahead and go to the crossroads. V'chichazi shum shant shum shuma gamlo the darimidi. If you find a large ant that is carrying something, lishkalei v'lishajei beguvsa dinachasha v'listimei ba'avra v'chichazi b'shisi gushpanki. Take the ant, throw it into a tube of copper, seal the tube with 60 seals, v'libarzilei, shake it up a little bit, v'lidrei, v'leima, and say the following, v'leima lei, tu'unach alai, utu'unai alach, and say to the ant, your load is upon me, my load is upon you. So the Gemara says, amalei rav acha b'reid rav huna, rav ashi, in other words, the idea is that I'm putting my fever upon the ant, and I'm taking the load of the ant upon me. I, amalei rav acha b'reid rav huna, rav ashi v'dilma, Inish Ashkeche V'ifsek Bey, I, maybe someone found this ant before and put their load upon the ant already. So maybe again you're taking on someone else's saris. About say hear this, right? So maybe someone else used the ant, you're taking on Plony's saris on you. Ela lemole tuunai utunach alach. Rather, again he said, go ahead and say that let my load and your load be on you, ant. Okay, so again. Let's finish this up. V'ilo, and if you can't do this, lishkol kuza charata, go ahead and take a brand new pitcher, v'leizo l'nara, go to the river, v'le malei, nara, osfan kuza demaya la'orcha de'iklali, and go ahead and say, river, go ahead and lend me a jug of water, la'orcha de'iklali, so that this orcha, this fever could leave me. V'le hadar shevzin li'areshe, wave it around 7 times on your head. Throw the water behind you. And then go ahead and say, river, take back the water that you have given me. Let the fever that has come today leave today as well. So again, you get into the interesting discussion over here. We see these things, and Lemaisa, they look like non-Jewish practices. This doesn't seem like stuff they were doing. So there are a couple of ways of understanding it. Either that it simply draws on deeper powers of which we are not aware, or the other possibility is that somehow they thought that these things actually had actual medicinal remedies. That there was, remember again, obviously, I often say this, Chazal knew about medicine what contemporary society knew about medicine. So it's quite possible that they thought that these things actually had some type of medicinal value, and that's why they did it. Either way, obviously, again, kind of working backwards, it obviously wasn't relying on any type of avodah zarah or any type of superstition, because halacha l'maaseh, if it were to do so, it would be aser. But again, so whether they're understanding that it drew on some type of deeper worldly power, it's still rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it was medicinal in nature, that's why they allowed it. The Gemara goes right there. Amrav Huna, top of Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. La Shasa Tilsa, Rashi says, ultimately, again, if you have a fever, right? Shachefes Shlisha Sheba Migimion Gimion. If you have a fever that I guess resurfaces every 3 days, Laisi Sheva Siluve Mishiva Dikli. Go ahead and bring 7 small branches from 7 palm trees. V'shivat tzivi mishivat kshuri, and 7 splinters or 7 pieces of wood from 7 beams. V'shivat sichi mishivat gishuri, and ultimately again, and also 7 pieces of wood from 7 different bridges. V'shivat katimi mishivat tanuri, 7 pieces of ash from 7 different ovens. V'shivat afri mishivat sinari, and 7 different little pieces of dirt from 7 different door sockets. V'shivat kufri mishivat arbi, and 7 pieces of pitch from 7 different boats. V'shivas buni kamuni, and 7 pieces of cumin. Okay, so the Gemara says, you bring this all together, and what do you do with it? V'shiva beni midigna de kalbasaba, and 7 hairs from an old dog. U'litzayrinu b'chalala de beit savara, and take all of this, wrap it up together, and hang it from a hair by the opening of your shirt. Benira barka. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. La shasa tzimir. The second of both say, these are just their remedies. These are their remedies. Don't try this, right? Don't, especially taking 7 hairs from an old dog. Doesn't sound like a good idea in general. But lemaisa, again, this is what they practiced. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, la shasa tzimirta. So I'll say, so this, Rashi says, Ashasa tzimirta is choli shemechamemes v'koldeches hasagof. This is a full body fever. For a full body fever, lishko sakino dekula parzolo. Go ahead and take a knife that is made of metal. Feleza lehecha, dika vardina. Very interesting. Go to a thorn bush. Now, vardina literally means like a rose bush, right? The thorn bush that produces roses. Although it doesn't really appear that the roses piece is all that important. Go to a thorn bush. Veliktar beit nira barka. And go ahead and make a small notch with the knife in the thorn bush. Yoma kamo, lichrok be parta. On the first day, go ahead and cut a little bit into the thorn bush. V'leimar, v'yar malach Hashem elov. And go ahead and quote the pasuk, v'yir malach Hashem elov b'labas eish misoch ha-sneh. So we'll say these are the psukim by Moshe Rabbeinu and the sneh. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu, when he stumbles upon, quote-unquote, the burning bush in the midbar, these are the psukim. So say the pasuk, and the angel of God appeared to him in the bush. L'machar, go back the next day. Lichrok be'porta, cut another notch in the bush. V'leimar v'yomer Moshe asura na ve'ereh. Say Moshe said, let me turn away and I will see this sight. V'machar nichrach ba'porta, the third day go back again. V'leimar v'yar Hashem kisar liros. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu turned away to see. So Moshe says, so apparently after that third day, when you go ahead and say Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros, a little bit of play on words, that Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu turned away. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu turned away, so too at that point in time, the fever will effectively turn away as well, and a person will be healed. But better yet, why don't you say the pasuk, don't come any nearer, or say that pasuk, that's even better, right? That should be a symbolism, just like Hashem said to Moshe, don't come any nearer. So do I say to the fever, don't come any nearer. So the Gemara says, you're right. On day number one of the fever, say, and the angel of God appeared to him. On the second day, Vayomer Moshe, Lamachar Lemale, Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. On day number two, say that Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu turned away to see. And then on day number three, Lamachar Vayomer Al Tikrav Halom. And on day number three, say the pasuk where God says to Moshe, do not come any closer. So therefore, on the third day, that's when the remedy is hopefully complete. And just like Hashem said to Moshe, don't come any closer, so too I say to the fever, do not come any closer. V'chi pasuk le, and ultimately, again, when you go ahead and you cut the thorn bush, pasuk le lisisisei. Ultimately, I'm sorry, v'chi pasuk le lisisei v'lifseke v'le mehachi hasneh hasneh. A person should say the following. When a person now on day number three, each of the first 2 days, a person is nicking the bush. On day number three, a person is totally cutting it, and he should say, "Balei mahachi, hasne hasne, thorn bush, first wide line." Lab mishum de gavias mikol ilane ashia kodesh baruch hu shchinte alecha. It's not because you are the tallest of all the trees that God rested His presence upon you. Elo mishum de meichos mikol ilani ashri kutsha brichu shchinte alech. But rather, again, it's because you are the lowest of all of the bushes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone ahead and rested His presence upon you. V'chihechi dechamise ashasa lechananya misha v'azaryo v'arikas min kadmohi. And the same way that the fire ran away from in front of Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Remember again, that's the miracle of Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, who were thrown into the fiery furnace and were saved from the fires. The same way the fires ran away from them. Kin tachmine ashasa leploni barplonis viti arok min kadmohi. So to let the fever of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the person talking about himself, run away from in front of him. Okay, so we'll say, so that's how you deal with the fever. Listima, or lesinta, I should say, Rashi says, shchin, this is boils. What do you do for boils? Lesinta, lemahachi, baz bazye, mas masye, Kas, Kasye, Sharloi, Amarloi, Olin Malochin di Ishtalchu me Ara di Stone. Ula Asa, Shchine Ke'evin. So you say all of these names and you say these are the angels who were sent from stone. They should ultimately go ahead and heal all of my boils. Okay? Bazach, Bazich, Bazbezich, Masmesich, Kamoch, Kamon, Kamich. So let's see, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Bazach, Bazach, Elo Mashmos. These words do not have meanings. Rather, this was just the recitation that people would say. Enoch Beich, Asrach beich zarach kichlot ubgeparda de lo para udelo uvelo rabia. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, it's, I mean, this is the enach beich means ultimate, it's still talking about the boils. Literally, again, your enach beich means, Rashi says, marich beich shilot adem yoser. That you should not change. The way you look now is the way you should remain, i.e. don't grow in any way. Asrach beich, don't go ahead and expand. Kikalut ukiparda, you should be like a mule. Right? You should be like a mule that doesn't have the ability to reproduce. Dolo para velo ravio, kach lo sifra velo sirbe bigufei deploni barplonis. So too, again, telling the boils that they should not expand, they should not get any greater on the body of so-and-so. Again, a reference to himself. So the Gemara says as follows. Good. So Lekifa. So Rashi's Lekifa is Abubos. Kach Loshon Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Nachum. Loshon Rabbi said Lekifa Lemisha Kofeu Sheit. Rashi has two interpretations here. Kipa can mean like blisters, or it can mean to someone who is possessed by a shade. So Lemahachi, this is what you should say. Cherev Shalufa Vekala Netusha Loshme Yochav Cholin Mach Oven. Okay, so we'll say, so ultimately, again, Rashi says over here, lachash ba'almahu. So these words don't necessarily have a particular meaning, but ultimately, again, it was said in these particular circumstances. Lishida. So we'll say, this seems to be explicit. Lishida, if a person is having a problem with a shade, so again, with a demon, lemahachi, havis depakik depakik, havis lita tavor umishumas bartit bartame bartina. Kishamgas, Marigas, Veistamoi. Okay, so we'll say so again. Rashi says over here, Lachishu. Ultimately, again, these are, I don't want to use the word incantations, because incantation sounds like it's something like Avodah Zarah. But ultimately, again, these were statements that were made, and Rashi just pointing out that the words themselves don't necessarily have a recognizable meaning to us, but somehow this was the recitation that was made for these individuals, in these circumstances. Lashidu de Beis Akise, what about, again, the shade of the bathroom? So let's remember again, we saw this back in Brachas, that because bathrooms were often situated in more isolated areas, therefore there was a real concern regarding shadim. And apparently, again, the shadim of that inhabited bathrooms were considered to be amongst the more aggressive type of shadim. So what do we do about a shida beis akise? Le mahachi akarkafi dari va'ausi degoryasa. So I say, so literally it means on the head of a lion. That's a karkafi. See, Rashi defines this a karkafi dari berosha arizachar, on the head of the male lion, va'ausi degoryasa, and up the nose of a female lioness. Ashkachtun lishidoi barshiraiki panda. I have found ultimately again the shade panda. Rashi says that's the name of the shade. Bemishra de karsi chafte balua de chamra chatshase. Rashi says bemishra de karsi chafte barugas karshin hipaltiv. I have gone ahead and thrown that shade in a row of leeks. Okay, so we'll say so again. The Rashi says, I smote it with the jawbone of the donkey. So we'll say so again. This, I don't know exactly what to tell you with these things, but Lamais, again, this is what they said. The only thing I could tell you is, although it sounds strange to us and sounds terribly non-Jewish to us, obviously, the fact that the Gemara is quoting it indicates that, again, these practices were done. And like I mentioned before, one of two ways to really understand it. Either that it draws just on some other forces in the world that, of course, are rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but somehow, again, summon up some other forces to combat these illnesses. Second possibility is they literally thought that this was part of medicinal healing, or this was what medicine of the time said that you should do. So Lemay said, again, if it's part of medicine, then it's part of medicine, even though to us it sounds much more like kishuf than anything else. But Lemay said, the fact that the Gemara records it indicates that Chazal understood that there was no element of kishuf, of sorcery, or any type of other divination involved in this. Okay, says the Gemara. B'nei Malachim B'zogin. So also remember again, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that princes could go out with bells on Shabbos. But remember again, then the Mishnah said, the Shul, it's not just princes, Any person could go out with bells. It was just common for royalty to go out with bells on their clothing. Suppose this is a beautiful Gemara. Man Tana, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Rabboshi Rabbi Shimoni, Damer Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim Hein. Suppose this is so beautiful. The opinion of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said that every Jew is a prince. Every Jew is a prince. We're supposed to look at actually just a moment. B'nei Malachim, Hilchach La'ani Nami Chazia V'lo Genusa Didei De'is Chazia Ki Yehura V'Shalif Inami Demigo D'Chidishu Shalif U'Machvi. So we're supposed to listen to this. So the idea over here is that even a person who's poor could still go out with a bell on Shabbos. A bell is normally considered to be the garment of royalty. Every Jew is royalty. Every Jew is royalty. In fact, you know, the Maggid of Nezrich said that the greatest chet, the greatest sin that a Jew commits is not any one of the averus that we know, but the greatest Jew that a Jew commits is that he forgets that he is royalty. We forget that we are ben melech. We forget that we're bnei melachim. We forget that we're the sons of the king. So here, Reb Shimon says every Jew is a prince. Rava Amar Barib Biksus of Divrei HaKorah. So the other possibility is the bell that we're talking about over here is actually sewn into his clothing. So because it's sewn into his clothing, therefore, again, I'll say, remember, what would be the potential issue of wearing a bell on Shabbos? The potential issue is you walk out, your friend says, hey, nice bell. And you say, oh, want to see it? And you take it off and you end up carrying it. Rav says that the case of the Mishnah that allows for one to wear a bell on Shabbos ultimately, again, is a situation where the bell is woven into the article of clothing. So because of that, one could wear it out. No concern that one may come to go ahead and take it off and inadvertently carry it on Shabbos. Beautiful, says the Mishnah. We'll say, now interestingly enough, we're now going to get into a very interesting sugya of darkei mori. In other words, the concept of Gentile practices. And when certain practices are considered to be Gentile practices and therefore cannot be practiced, versus when things are just considered to be something more normative. So look at the Mishnah. Yotzim Rabbeis HaSachargo U'Bishen Shul. So we'll say on Shabbos, you're permitted to go out with Beit HaChagel. Beit HaChagel, we're going to see, is a locust egg. You can go out with a locust egg on Shabbos, or b'shein shua with a fox's tooth, or b'mesamer min atzalov, this is an interesting one, with a nail from the gallows. A nail from the gallows, mishum refuah. Why? Because Reb Meir says all of these things were used for medicinal purposes. The Chachamim Osrim, the Chachamim say you cannot use any of these things. Af b'chol, even during the, forget about Shabbos, even during the week, these things are asur. Why? Mishum darkei emori. Ultimately, again, because of darkei emori, now what's darkei emori? Look at Rashi. Nechoshu. Now we'll say darkei emori becomes the catch-all phrase, ultimately, again, of things that are sorcery. You're not allowed to do things that are related to sorcery. Rashi says over here, darkei emori nechoshu. This is a form of sorcery. Uksev ubechuko sem lo selechu. And ultimately, again, the pasuk says that you are not permitted to follow in the ways of the Gentile nations. So therefore, again, I'm going to say fundamental machlokes. So Meir says all of these things are permitted because they have medicinal value. Chacham say they're all aser. Forget about Shabbos. They're aser during the week because the mice, what we call darkei emori, forms of divination, forms of sorcery. Says the Gemara, Yotzim Beit HaSachargo Da'avad L'Shulcha. Now, the Gemara says, just by the way, what do you use a locust egg for? Da'avad L'Shulcha. Ultimately, again, apparently, this was used for earaches, Rashi says, and you would hang it on the ear. So you would wear it all around your ear, and it was good for earaches. U'b'shein shal shual, why would people go out with a fox's tooth? So Rashi says, "B'shein shal shual da'avdi l'shinta." Right, you would go ahead and use it. Ultimately, again, it sounds like you used it for insomnia. Rashi says, "Yesha so k'deshi yishen v'yesh k'deshi lo yishen." So interesting enough, sometimes it was used to fall asleep. Sometimes it was used to stay awake. D'chaya leman dinayim, d'misa leman delonayim. You would use the tooth from a living fox for one who was too sleepy and needed to stay up, and you would use the tooth from a dead fox, ultimately, again, for someone who had problems for not falling asleep. Okay, so apparently the fox's tooth was used to treat sleep disorders. And a nail from the gallows. Da'avdi lezirfa. Ultimately, again, if a person had swelling of a wound, so apparently, again, the nail from the gallows would be able to take down the swelling. Mishum Rafua Div Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says again, remember, Meir says all of these things are permitted because they provide medicinal healing. Abayi v'Ravi d'Amrit Harbayu. So Abayi and Rabbi both said as follows. Kol davar sheish bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darkei mori. In general, anything that has proven medicinal value ultimately is not usher because of darkei mori, is not usher because of Gentile practices. Ha'ein bo mishum refuah, but if you have a practice that does not have a proven medical effect, yesh bo mishum darkei mori. Ultimately, again, it will be usher because of darkei mori. Aye, but is that true? But we learned, Vatanya, ilon shemesher peirosav, if you have a fruit which prematurely sheds its fruit, sokro vitzovea oso besikra v'toano ba'avanim. So what do? Paint the tree red and weigh down the branches with stones. So bishlon toano ba'avanim. So this is very interesting. So apparently weighing down branches with stones was a common practice for a tree that shed its fruit prematurely. Because what were you doing? The svara was, you were sapping the tree of some of its vitality. You were, by weighing down the branches, you were sapping some of the vitality, which would hopefully prevent the tree from shedding the fruit prematurely. So that I understand. But I don't understand, what does painting the tree red, how does that help? In other words, that sounds about, say, a bit like a form of darkei mori. So why is that permitted? The Gemara says, no. Kihechi dilechazi inish vliboy ale rachami. The idea of the red shirabo says that people should see that my tree is having problems and they should daven for me. They should daven for me. So people saw a red tree and a red tree showed, this is a tree that needs a refuah. This is a tree that needs a Yeshua. And people will daven, kidisanya vitame tami yigra. As the Pasuk says, by tzaras. The Mitzora, he goes around calling out Tamei. Why does he do that? In order that what? So he goes and he makes a declaration about all the problems he's having. Why? Not to complain, chas v'shalom, but that other people should daven on his behalf. So the Gemara says, Amar Abchi bar Avi. So therefore, I say, you see that this practice of going ahead and painting the tree red is not darkei mori chas v'shalom, but rather, again, it was to alert people as to the problems that I was having and to get them, hopefully, to daven for me. So the Gemara goes weiter. So therefore, Ravina says, according to whom do we go ahead and hang a cluster of dates, ultimately again on the branch of a tree, according to this Tana? So we'll say the hanging of the dates, again, like we said before, probably served a dual purpose. Number one, to sap the branches of some of the vitalities that they would not prematurely shed the fruit. And also to alert people that there was a problem with the tree, please daven for my tree. Tana Tana Beperka Amaroi Kamed Rab Chibar Avin Amalei Kulu Ispu Mishum Darkem or the Bar Mehani. So we'll say in general, many of the practices enumerated, Rashi says over Kulu Ispu Kala Shenuyos Sham Al Titalon Be'echme Inbo Mishum Darkem Ori. So in general, we'll say all the practices that we mentioned before are usher because of darkei mori, except for the following. If somebody has a bone stuck in his throat, he goes in and he brings a bone of the same type, and he places it on his head. And he should say the following. Chad chad nachis bala. Bala nachis chad chad. Say one, go down and be swallowed. Be swallowed, go down one. In ba mishum darkei mori. Ultimately, again, that practice is not darkei mori. So you see, it's just fascinating. So the previous practice is walking around, with a fox's tooth, or walking around, with a nail from a gallows. That's darkei mori. But if you have a bone stuck in your throat, putting another one on your head and saying, go down, swallow, 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 go down, down. That's okay. That's not that you're supposed to see. You see over here that again, the only way to understand is it must be that, let's say, that practice with the bones was like a medically sanctioned approach, that people thought that Mamishtis had value. So remember again, darkei and mori represents practices that are not rooted in their normative framework of medicine. And it doesn't seem to be any real value to it. And people still do it. That's when it's darkei mori. But if people attributed some level of value to it, or somehow they saw that these things worked, then lemaisa it's not darkei mori. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, le'idra. Rashi says, idra is a bone of a fish. Lemahachi. So let's say if you get a fishbone stuck in your throat, what you should say is, you should say, Ninatsto kamachat ninalta kisris. Shai shai. So ultimately, again, you should go ahead and say that the same way that you've gotten stuck like a needle, but you should be closed like a shutter. Shai shai. Shai shai means go down, go down. This is how you take care of a stuck fishbone. Amud Beis, we'll say. Ha'omer. Gad gidi. V'sanuk, gad gidi v'sanuk, lo ashki v'lo ubushki. So I said, look at Rashi. Homer gad gidi, his mazel mazli. So gad gidi means, I should have good mazel. I should have good mazel. Right? My mazel should be good. V'sanuk lo, Rashi says, ayif altihi, let my mazel not tire. Ashki uboshki. Rashi says, yom alayla. So this was something that a person would say. Let my mazel be good. Let my mazel not tire, both by day and by night. A person says this, yesh po misham darkei mori. Such a statement like this ultimately is prohibited because of darkei mori. Rashi says, v'chim bekulon ad sof pirka, garsina harezim darkei mori. So it says, we're going to see, now we're going to get into things that again, the Gemara felt just have absolutely no value. So they weren't part of any type of normative medical framework, and they were not proven to have any type of real benefit. So if that's the case, then halacha l'maisa, they are indeed prohibited because of darkei mori. The Gemara Rabbi Huda Omer, Gad eino ela lashna avodah zarah. The word God itself is, whenever a person uses that in a recitation, not only is that problematic, but it's mamash avodah zarah. Shnei amar, ha'orchim legad shulchan. So he went over and quotes the pasuk, ha'orchim legad shulchan. Good. Ha'orchim legad shulchan. So this is a pasuk from Yeshaya. Literally, again, they arrange a table for God. In this context, of course, God is the name of an avodah zarah. Okay. Hu bishma v'hi bishmo. So I say, this is so interesting. Look at Ashi. Hu bishma v'hi bishmo. Hu v'ishto. I'm in the fourth line from the top in Rashi. So listen to this. Hu bishma v'hu bishmo. Hu bishma v'hi bishmo. Hu v'ishto. Machlifin shmo seyen ze ba ze ba layla mishum nechush. So I say, they had this practice. Husband and wife would switch names at night for sorcery purposes. Okay, so meaning apparently again, the wife is called by the husband's name, the husband is called by the wife's name, just at night, apparently again, it's some type of divination. So what's the halacha? Yesh po milshum darkei emori. Okay, this is aser because of darkei emori. Donu doni, Rashi says, donu doni, hischasku chaviosai, a person says, let my barrels be strong, yesh po milshum darkei emori. Ultimately, again, this is also because of darkei mori. Now, both say, now, what's the problem? If you're looking at Rashi, done, eino chakei mori, ela avodah zarah mamish, v'chayiv mishum kori, I'm sorry, in don ela lashon avodah zarah, she'ne'emar, hanishboim ba'ashmos shomrom, v'omru chay elohecha done. So Rabbi Huda says, darkei mori, now, both say, now, remember again, let's make a distinction here. So, darkei mori and avodah zarah are like sister concepts, but not exactly the same. Avodah Zarah obviously means the overt calling on a foreign god. Darkei Emori, the Chazal felt, are principles that the Gentiles engage in. Now, some of them are usher simply because they have no meaning and no impact, and I'm just doing it to mimic the Gentiles. Some of them will be usher ultimately, again, because they border on idolatry. So here it's interesting. You see the Gemara quoting some practices that are going to be usher because of darkei emori, and then the Gemara says, oh, no, by the way, that's not darkei emori, that's avodah zarah. That's actual idolatry. Ha'omer li'orev, Tsarach ula arfta shriki vachziri liz navech letova yeshu mishum darkei emori. So what's if a person says to the raven? Person says to the raven, Tsarach, Rashi says, Kishukore omer lokein mipneshu mevasen usoros veloche shalachashda. Person says to the raven, crow out, right? Or to the female raven, shriki. Also go ahead and call out, vachziri liz navech, or turn your tail towards me, give me a good omen. So now also, you're bordering on to things of omens. And again, omens we're going to see, even though omens have their own kind of prohibition, but these things will also ask because of darkei mori. Haomer, shachtu tarnagol zeh, shekara aravis, v'tarnagolis shekara gavris, Yeshua Mishum Darkei Mor. If a person says, go ahead and shecht this tarnagol, Rashi says, Shikara Gavris Kitarnagol. In other words, go ahead and shecht this hen because it called out like a rooster, or a rooster that called out like a hen. This is also because of Darkei Mor. So I'll say, so a person says, you have to shecht this, it's a good omen, because it called out like this, it called out like that, called Darkei Mor also. Eshteva Osir, Yesh bo mishum darkei mori. If a person says that ultimately I'm just going to drink a little bit and purposely leave over, Rashi says, Kadesh tein bracha mutsuya b'yenos. Well, this is very interesting. What a person was doing was he drank a sip of wine, and purposely only drank a little bit. And his point was, I'm just going to drink a little bit, and there's a chus that just a little bit should go ahead and take care of my thirst. So apparently, again, this was also because of darkei mori. Hamivakas beitzim bekosel, the hitach bifnei afrochim. If a person goes ahead and literally cracks eggs against the wall and crushes them in front of chicks, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. This is also because of darkei amori. Look at Rashi. Hamivakas beitzim bekosel, the istigarsi beitzim mivakas leacher sheyetzu afrochim, machzeres haklipos b'makel, vikov osan bekosel lifnei v'zel anachis shleimuzu. So apparently Rashi understands what you would do is after the chicks hatched, you would then take the shells and you would crack them against the wall. This was done for some reason as a thought that it would benefit the chicks. So this is also because of Darkei Mori. V'hamagis b'fnei afrochim. And if one goes ahead and literally stirs, sounds like a saying, a person is stirring a pot in front of the chicks, but a person is doing this ultimately to go ahead and benefit the chicks, yesh bo mishum Darkei Mori. Ultimately, again, this will be also because of Darkei Mori. Hamirakedes v'hamone shivim v'echad afrochim b'shvil shelo yamusu yesh bo mishum Darkei Mori. If someone dances, this is mirakedes, right? Rashi says over here, now Rashi says, hamirakedes is lekusach. This is actually very interesting. Rashi says that mirakedes, 1 second. Yeah, hamirakedes, Rashi says, lekusach is kisha osa kusach mirakedes lafana v'hu nechosh she yischazeg. So apparently it was making kusach. Remember again, kusach was that dish that was made out of moldy bread, soured milk. So apparently, again, people thought that if you danced while you made the kusach, it made the kusach even stronger. This ultimately, again, is Darkei Mori. Amon deshim ve'echad afrochin b'shosh l'amusu, or you count 71 chicks so that they shouldn't die. Again, I will say the idea is somehow persons counted to 71. So this, again, was a skula that the chicks shouldn't die. So ultimately, again, yeshu mishum Darkei Mori. I'm sorry. This was Mirakedes Vamona. This is someone who's dancing and counting chicks. That's Darkei Mori. Now, Hamirakedes Lekusach, if a person goes ahead and dances while making kusach, right? So again, and the idea being that the dancing somehow makes the kusach stronger. Vahamishasekes la'adashim. This is very interesting. Mishasekes la'adashim, Rashi says that ultimately, again, when cooking lentils, you order everyone around to be quiet. Somehow, again, you only want to cook the lentils in silence. V'hamitzavachas legrisin, or one who goes ahead and yells at the grisin. So we'll say, so again, you quiet everyone down for the lentils, you yell at the grisin. Yesh bo mishum Darkei Mori. All of this, again, I will say, was Darkei Mori. Hamishasenes b'fnei kedei rasa, b'shol shetisbasho mehira. If someone urinates in front of the pot that they're cooking, in order that it should go ahead and cook faster, yesh bo mishum Darkei Mori. So we'll say this is also because of Darkei Mori, and also bad hygiene, right? So this is going to be also on many different levels, but lamaisa, you can't do this because of Darkei Mori. Aval nosten kisam shotus v'shivetz chuches biktera. What you can do is, it's very interesting, you could take a splinter, we'll say, tus is a mulberry bush. You could take the splinter from a mulberry tree, a mulberry bush, you could throw it into the pot, the shivri schuchis, and a shard of glass. You could also put that into the pot, b'shoshet is bashal mehira. So apparently, again, mulberry wood and a shard of glass have the ability to accelerate the cooking process. But the Gemara says, but really, the chachamo osim b'shivri schuchis, m'v'yasakano. But probably you should avoid the shard of glass. It's probably a great idea to avoid the shard of glass. Just ultimately, not al tzedakei amori, but rather just in terms of sakana. Fine. So Rabbi say the parak ends. Tan Rabbana, nosnin bul shal melach l'soch haner b'shul shetayir v'tadlik. So Rabbi say, so now, this has nothing to do with Dark Gemara. Now, the Gemara kind of transitions here to just other practices. These are just common practices that we're engaged in. So also you could take a bull. Bull means like a fistful or like a clump of salt. And you could put it into the ner. Remember again, as we've seen before many times, ner doesn't just simply mean a candle, but ner refers to that earthenware utensil that contained the oil and the wick. So you could take a fistful of salt, put it into the ner, b'shil shetayir v'tadlik, in order that the light, that the fire becomes lighter, and ultimately again, and kindles better. Rashi says, bul shal melech, mali egrof melech, a fistful of salt, b'shil shetayir v'tadlik, she'in zenechosh, elam seyeh mamish, shamelech tzolalas Hashem, v'yum shachach ha'psila. So we'll say, so again, just putting salt into the ner was actually a way to make the light a bit more luminescent. Okay, good to know. So the Gemara says, "V'nosnin tit v'charos es tachas haner b'shul shetamtin v'tadlik." And you can put clay and earthenware, interestingly enough, into the oil or under the oil, Rashi says. So this, you will put this underneath the oil in order that it cools down the oil. Now, interestingly enough, by cooling down the oil, Rashi says, "Mitzanin es hashemen v'no dolek mas." It's interesting. So apparently, putting clay or earthenware underneath the oil cools the oil, and cooling the oil preserves it for longer, allows it to burn at a slower pace. So the Gemara says, Amarav Zutra Hayman de Nichsi Shraga de Mishcha Umagli Nafta Kavar Mishum Bal Tashka. It's very interesting. One who goes ahead and covers up an oil lamp or opens up a naft lamp is over on Bal Tashkis. So we'll say, why is over on Bal Tashkis? This is very interesting. Rashi says over here, the machsi shraga de mishcha, sha'osa la kisui la maila memahir la halik. Because we'll say, apparently when you cover up a lamp, an oil lamp, an olive oil lamp, it causes the oil to burn faster. When you uncover a naft lamp, it causes the naft oil to burn faster. That's ultimately, again, that's Bal Tashkis, the Gemara says. That's causing unnecessary destruction, unnecessary waste. Chamra, v'chayi lefum rabbanon, this is a very beautiful way to end the parak. So listen to this. It says, if a person makes a lechayim and he says, chamra v'chayi, kishimos givinos in kos, omer kein lebracha ba'alma. If a person, we'll say, when they pour a glass of wine, they give a wine to their chaver and they make a lechayim. And what's the lechayim? Blessing, right? Wine and blessing to the mouth of the rabbis. So a person, right, when they pour a glass of wine, they make a lechayim, wine and blessing, chayim, v'chamra v'chayim, l'pum rabbana, wine and blessing to the mouth of the rabbis, emum mishum darkei emori. Ultimately, again, there is no problem of darkei emori with making a lechayim to the rabbis, right, to the rabbanon. There's no darkei emori here. I was supposed to say, you might have thought that maybe this is some kind of incantation, kamash malon, it's just a beautiful wish, right, that the rabbis should have wine and they should have life. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Akiva, Sha'asa Mishta Libno. There was once a story Rabbi Akiva made. Rabbi Akiva made a party, right? He made that. Usually Mishta means a chasana. So whatever it is, he made a chasana for his son. Va'al kol kos v'ko shehevi. And every single time they brought Rabbi Akiva, ultimately again a cup of wine. Amar chamra v'chaye l'pum rabbanon. Chaye v'chamra l'pum rabbanon u'lufum tamidehon. So Rabbi Akiva made a beautiful l'chaye. Every single time they brought him a glass of wine, he would say as follows. He would say, let there be wine and life to the mouth of the Rabbanim. Chaye v'chamra l'pum Rabbanon, let there be wine and let there be life and wine to the mouth of the Rabbanon ulefum tamidehon. And ultimately, again, to the mouths of their students as well. So that's a beautiful idea. So here you see the Gemara saying, first of all, in general, what the Gemara is ending off with, Rosh Hashanah, is that any time you wish a bracha on someone else, right? Any time that you convey feelings of blessing to another person, not only is that not usher, right? Not only is that not darkei emori, but what better thing can you do ultimately again than give a lechayim, than give a bracha to another Jew? Hadron alach b'ma'isha. I will say mazel tov. In the conclusion of the parak, Emir Hashem, we'll begin the new parak of Klal Gadol. Emir Hashem tomorrow b'sha'a tova u'mitzlacha. Shkirach Rabosai. We'll begin davening in just a few moments. Great schus to finish this parak with all of you.